You know, I don't know if you're going to get A-grade quality when the Warriors play a 3 a.m. tip-off. Kylan Mills and I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't speak for you, but I'm exhausted. I'm mustering energy. It was a win, and there were some bright sides to this. We're going to break down the Warriors' first preseason game of the year the best we can. Yeah, there's some highlights there. There's some reason to be very optimistic. We're going to break that down next. This is Locked On Warriors.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you for making Locked On Warriors your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you get podcasts. Today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline, it's where the game starts. You can follow Kylan Mills on Twitter at Kylan Mills. You can follow me, Cyrus Otzes, on Twitter at DogSurfRocho. Kylan, what was your night like? Did you watch the game? If yes, your feedback. How are you doing?
Definitely a little bit on the tired side. So I stayed up. I don't know if some people like went to sleep and then woke up. I stayed up, attempted to watch the game.
Wow.
Got a couple minutes in, literally crashed as the game was on in my bedroom. So I watched the early portions of it and then DVR'd it. Just actually was going back and watching the rest of it. I mean, the one biggest takeaway is that James Wiseman is ready to play and he's ready to make an impact this season. We've been talking about it all offseason, him finally being healthy, him putting in work in scrimmages at Chase Center all summer long. So it's so exciting to finally see him in action and to really look healthy.
Hell yes. I mean, that is easily the number one positive from last night's game. First of all, it was seeing all the ceremonies, seeing all the rituals. I mean, they're playing in Tokyo, I think. It was cool. Like, the crowd has a weird way of clapping in sync. It's like synchronous applause. Did you notice that?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Kind of bizarre. Like, everyone said they're polite. You could almost sense the politeness. Like, it wasn't your typical rowdy crowd. I loved it. The Wizards have a player on the roster who I'm not super familiar with. Hachimura. Rory Hachimura, who I don't know a lot about. I mean, look, he played in Gonzaga. He was a lottery pick 3 years ago, but I didn't know he's from Japan. Did you hear him talking to the crowd before the game started?
Yeah. And I think he got a standing ovation. He really got a warm welcome. So that was really cool. I agree. I don't know too much about his background, but you know, always cool to see a reunion of sorts.
Yeah. And he played good. He had 13 points, 9 rebounds. But yeah. James Wiseman, clearly the highlight. He played, just to break down his stats first, 24 minutes. He was 8 for 11 from the field. He was throwing down some monster dunks. He had some post-up moves where he was basically like putting up hook shots, grabbing rebounds, being aggressive. Yeah, what are your thoughts on Wiseman? I mean, I know you touched on that, but expand a little more, please, if you don't mind, if you have it in yet to do so.
Yeah, of course. Wiseman looked like a dog that just got let out of its cage after being stuck in the kennel all day while I'm at work for 8 hours. I don't do that to my dogs, but I know friends who do, and they come out and they are just going nuts. I mean, Wiseman just looked so confident, aggressive, hungry. 5 dunks on the night, and he had one, I can't remember, was it in the fourth quarter, two-handed slam over Porzingis that was just like a jaw dropper. I just thought that was really impressive. And he did a little stare down after, which you love to see, a little bit of, I don't know, you know, je ne sais quoi from James Wiseman. It was so much fun to watch. I mean, he looked great. I also think that his finesse has improved a lot. His, you know, because you mentioned some of those hook shots, pretty jump shots. I mean, going 8 for 11 for a big like him, for a true center, I mean, that's really impressive. And it wasn't just layups. So I just feel like he's made improvements. He's made leaps and bounds of improvements. So it's going to be really fun to watch him in full NBA action this year. I mean, I just feel like he's improved his game all around. His ball handling looked better. I know one concern that a lot of fans have brought up is like his hands just like literally dropping the ball. Like, that didn't look to be a major concern to me. I don't know. A lot of people have brought that up. They think he doesn't have great hands and that he has difficulty catching the ball or bringing down rebounds and really solidly, you know, bringing them in. And I just thought that everything about the way he played looked strong. It looked confident. He looks like he's really improved the finesse in his game. So it's going to be really exciting to see him play this season with the Warriors. Also really scary for other teams, because I know a lot of fans were calling for the Warriors to trade for another big last season because they were so thin at that true center position. The Warriors ran it back anyway and won a championship. And now they add James Wiseman into the mix. Like, that's scary. Scary hours for the rest of the
year. Yeah. Oh, hell yeah. It's exciting hours if you're a member of Dub Nation. I want to give, by the way, a real quick shout out to Kyle Valentine, who's a huge fan of the show. Follow him on Twitter at ValentineK99. There you go. You got your shout out. Okay. So but I'm with you. The Wiseman thing probably freaks out the rest of the NBA. Has to, because that one chink in the armor last year was their depth in terms of their front court. You know, they had Draymond, they had Bielitsa, Looney, and like that was pretty much it. Now you're adding Wiseman to the mix. We saw Jermichael Green play some minutes last night. We saw one thing I also that stuck out to me a little bit was Patrick Baldwin Jr. Yeah. I mean, a lot of players got playing time. Really, the obvious absence was Klay Thompson. We'll touch on that in a moment because that was a little telling in terms of the future of this season. Mac McClung didn't play. That was a little surprising. But we saw almost everyone else. Patrick Baldwin Jr. played 8 minutes. Kid's got size. I mean, he looks like a center out there. He went 1-for-3 from the three-point line. Did you watch any of his game? And did anyone else, at least from the rookie class, did anything else stick out to you that based off just what I just said?
Yeah, Patrick Baldwin Jr., I think, was the other standout. Besides just rookies, just of the new players, I think that he has a lot of potential. He's a player that, kind of interesting, similar to Wiseman, has had, you know, some setbacks in terms of injuries in his young career. Fans, even the coaching staff, doesn't really know exactly what they're going to get from him this season. You know, they drafted him based on potential, and I think that he's going to be able to be a really strong NBA player. Of course, as a rookie on this team, you know, he won't be relied on to get huge minutes, which I think is really great because it takes a little bit of pressure off some of the young players and gives them time to develop. I really liked what we saw from Patrick Baldwin Jr. I know one thing he said at Media Day, which is so true, is that his main focus is rebounding and defense, because Steve Kerr is such a defensive-minded coach and a coach who really harps on defense. Baldwin Jr. said, if I can do those two things, then I know I'll get minutes. And I thought he did both those things really well. And you mentioned his size. He's just big. He's long. He has a big wingspan. So I just think he has a lot of potential. And I think that he's spot on, that if he plays defense and he can bring in rebounds, there's absolutely room for him in this rotation. You know, if he was able to shoot and spread the floor a little bit, that would be a great addition too. We saw that one three-pointer that he made yesterday or this morning.
Whatever.
But yeah, I don't know. I think that he definitely has potential to bring in rebounds and play defense, which is something he said was his focus. And given Steve Kerr's system, that's great. You'll get minutes if you do exactly that. And I think he will. I think he's going to pleasantly surprise a lot of people.
I totally agree. Another rookie that the Warriors had three draft picks this year. Ryan Rollins was the one everyone was saying was going to be NBA ready. Didn't have a great shooting night, but he got to the line three times. And that's, I mean, for someone of his age to be able to acquire that skill set, which is something the Warriors always miss. They're routinely outshot when it comes to free throw attempts. But Ryan Rollins, you know, he did score 8 points and he went 6-for-6 from the line, only 1-for-6 from the field. But he still, I mean, for his first game ever, not bad at all, kid. And when you look at the difference between the two teams, again, this is just a preseason game, but I'm a little giddy because unlike some previous years, the Warriors have youth. And they have some new players. It's something to analyze and it's something to certainly examine. But if there's one clear advantage in last night's game, I thought it was rebounding. The Warriors killed the Wizards on the glass and they out-rebounded them 62-44. If there's anything that looked different about this Warriors team compared to last year, is that they were big. We weren't really saying that last year. But, I mean, Draymond, you know, it looked good. He had 8 rebounds, but, you know, Kevon Looney had 7 rebounds. Wiggins had 6 rebounds. Jordan Poole, we'll talk about him in a second. He had not a great game, but he still pulled in 5 rebounds. Jermichael Green, the new player, had 5 rebounds. Wiseman, we talked about, 20 points. He also had 9 rebounds. DiVincenzo had 7 rebounds. Ryan Rollins had 4 rebounds. I mean, they were just crashing the boards. And that is so great to see. I mean, that's rebounding to me is important, unlike what some people say. But we got to talk about Klay Thompson and Jordan Poole in just a moment, because Klay not playing sent a strong message about what to expect maybe for the season. I wasn't sure if he was going to be taking on like an Iron Man role or if they were going to be cautious with him. They're going to be cautious. And Jordan Poole took over the starting role. We'll break all that down in just a moment. But first, got to give some love to a very longtime sponsor of this program, Bet Online. I got to get my little overlay here. There we go, a little fancy overlay. BetOnline.net, more specifically, they're your number one source for football betting information this season. And the president of BetOnline sent me an email, Jimmy Shapiro. They have all the lines for the opening night games. The Warriors game, the line's already out. Again, it's crazy that the first game of the regular season is 2.5 weeks away. Does that blow your mind?
Yes, that is 100% mind-blowing. Okay, I have another big takeaway, but we'll save it for after you get through the rest of telling people about Bet Online. So go ahead.
Yeah. Well, if you want to bet on that opening game, you can. I think they're going to have a ring ceremony as well this Tuesday, October 18th. The game is going to be on TNT, played at Chase Center. And the Warriors are favored by 6 points, the over-under 228. That's a tricky line, only because when teams typically have their ring night, even if they are the superior team, like the Warriors, I would say it's safe to say, are over the Los Angeles Lakers, they could have a letdown because, again, it's a celebratory mood. Their guard is down a little bit. That hunger isn't quite there. You're stoked. You're wearing a $1 million ring on your hands, or at least you're suddenly putting it wherever it's safe. The point is, it's not as safe of a bet as you might feel, but just go to Bet Online. You can bet on all the action. It's the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite games and events, including Major League Baseball. The playoffs are just around the corner. Congrats, Aaron Judge, on number 61. MMA, boxing, and golf. Head to betonline.net or use your mobile device to learn more. Bet Online, it's where the game starts.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you for making Locked On Warriors your first listen every day. Make your second listen Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Josh Lloyd hosts the number one daily fantasy basketball show on the planet, literally. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts. So is Kylan Mills on Twitter. You can follow her at Kylan Mills. Same with Instagram. You post some great stories there. So follow her on both those platforms and then some. What were we going to talk about? I'm curious.
I was just going to say one of the other newcomers who impressed me, I did want to mention, was Dante DiVincenzo. I think he looked totally comfortable on the ball. He looked like he'll fit right in with that second unit. I think he could really be a factor in bringing the ball up, handling the ball, maybe taking a little bit of pressure off Jordan Poole. I thought he looked really nice. I think he finished with 9.7 boards, somewhere around there, three for four from the floor. His stroke looked smooth, and I was really impressed by him. I think that he was a good find and that he'll fit in well with the system.
I'm totally with you. He looked like a natural fit, and he's going to be playing possibly the backup point guard role for the Warriors. What were your thoughts on Klay Thompson and the decision by the Warriors to sit him for the two Japanese games? Is that telling to you your thoughts?
Yeah, so I was a little bit surprised by that, just based on all of the excitement and buildup there's been to this season surrounding Klay Thompson, based on what we've heard from Bob Myers and from Steve Kerr and from everyone across the organization, his teammates, just about how excited they are to have Klay back and for them really touting the fact that he's in supposedly his best physical shape that he's been in years, and that he really, you know, went all out in the offseason in preparing and training and getting stronger and getting faster and just getting more NBA ready, because he hasn't been able to do that the last 3 years due to, you know, a series of serious injuries. So I was surprised, just because based on all they're saying is that Klay is back to finally being Klay. That was pre-Achilles and ACL tear Klay. But based on the fact that he's not playing in Japan, that's not pre-injury Klay. Pre-injury Klay was an Iron Man, and he took on major defensive loads. He put in big minutes every single game. You know, like, he was a high volume player. So to me, not playing him in these first two preseason games, that's, you know, somewhat of an indicator that maybe he's not back to where he was, or that they still do take those injuries into account more so than it had sounded like in some of these preseason press conferences and some of the things we've been hearing. Now, that's not to say that he's not healthy. I just think that like everything they were saying is like, oh my gosh, Klay Thompson's officially back. He's 110%. He's going to be putting, you know, putting in minutes and putting up numbers that we saw before his injuries. And like, to me, this was kind of like a pump the brakes. We still are factoring those injuries in. And that's why we're going to be choosy about his minutes. And I just wonder if that's an indicator moving forward in the season. Are they going to be still monitoring Klay Thompson's minutes and playing time? Because to me, based on everything I was hearing, it didn't sound like it. Sound like, okay, this is a guy who's officially back. He's, you know, more than healthy and able to take on his usual workload. So now this makes me wonder, is he not going to be taking on the usual Klay Thompson workload? Maybe more of what we saw last season, where he's going to have to be selective and the training staff is going to choose games for Klay to take off. Like I said, just based on everything that the staff was saying, I didn't think that was going to be the case, but now seeing this, I think that we're not going to get Klay for 82 games. Maybe as some people, including myself, would have suspected based on, you know, how successful his off-season training supposedly was and how he just looks great. Like even in his Instagram live stories and videos, like he looks like he's in a really great place mentally. He looks super healthy whenever he shares clips training. Like he looks like he's gotten really strong. Yeah. So I don't know if, you know, this is just training staff being really, really cautious, or, you know, if he does still feel any effects of having two major surgeries. That would be totally understandable if he did. But I think that his usage is a little bit different than what maybe I initially thought, or some people initially thought. I don't know what you thought, but I thought we were getting Klay Thompson like fully back this season.
Same. I thought that too. It was a little surprising to me that they are resting him. I mean, look, the flight is really long. You know, there, studies have shown there are adverse effects being in that altitude, being in that setting. So maybe that plays a part in it. You know, Klay having to sit and be in that environment for so long going to Japan, maybe they just didn't feel like it was worth it to put him through the grind. But you're right. If there's anything that him sitting out these two games tells me, is that they are going to continue playing it safe with him, and they're most likely not going to be playing him in back-to-backs.
Right.
I'm not worried about it. I don't think there's any cause for concern. I think they're just being cautionary and playing it safe. But what that does mean is that with Klay sitting out occasionally and them taking, you know, erring on the side of caution, that Jordan Poole is going to be playing a lot more. Dante DiVincenzo is going to be playing a lot more. Ryan Rollins will suddenly, his role will be much more significant. And Poole didn't have a great, he had a really bad game. I mean, he looked okay out there. Like a lot of the shots he missed were just weird. Like they're shots that I feel like they normally go in. But he went 1-for-10 from the field, 10% field goal percentage. Not a good look, no matter what the setting. He was 0-for-4 from the 3-point line. He got to the line twice, you know, went 3-for-4 from the free throw line. So he only had 5 points. But this is also where, you know, like you got to take a lot of these stats with a grain of salt, especially plus minus, because despite his horrible shooting night, he was still +4 in the plus minus, and he still poured in 5 rebounds. So what are your thoughts on Jordan Poole? I mean, it's one preseason game. I know on one hand, look, ring the alarms, panic. Jordan Poole is not going to be the same player anymore. I'm kidding, obviously, but it's just one preseason game. But at the same time, you don't want to see that. Your thoughts on Jordan Poole?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to overdo it or overanalyze one preseason game. He definitely didn't look good. I mean, I think that the biggest, most noticeable thing was just, you mentioned the 1-for-10. Like, that's obviously a horrible shooting night. However, Steph Curry has horrible shooting nights. The best shooters in the world have bad shooting nights. So, or days or mornings or whatever heck time it was. So I don't want to like over, you know what I mean? I don't want to like over hammer that. However, a point that I want to bring up is something that Draymond Green brought up at Media Day is, you know, some players struggle or feel additional pressure when they're on a contract year. And Green specifically brought up Jordan Poole and just kind of talked about the contrast, saying, you know, I might not respond to a contract year the same way someone like Jordan Poole would. Not that he was necessarily pointing the finger, but that is something that I actually was thinking about and brought up to my husband, because I was just thinking, you know, like it seems like his shot's a little bit off. Maybe he's forcing it a little bit. Doesn't look quite as comfortable as he did, you know, towards the latter end and some of his better games last season. But I also am very curious as to if he is feeling any extra pressure, or if there is any kind of change dynamic due to this being a contract year for him and his really first big contract, his first, you know what I mean? The first time he's really in the driver's seat and is going to have to make some decisions and negotiate, and his agent's going to have to negotiate. And so I'm curious if that is adding an extra layer of pressure at all to Jordan Poole, because that's something that Draymond Green brought up. And I thought it was a great point.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. It's like, it's the general assumption is that if a player is in a contract year, they're motivated, they're hungry, you're going to get extra production out of them. But there's another side to that coin, like you just mentioned. Yep. Like, what if they're suddenly nervous about it? What if they're anxious about it? What if they feel more pressure than necessary and that affects their game? I mean, look, let's hope that doesn't happen. Another player who's in that position is Andrew Wiggins. Wiggins also had a horrible shot. A lot of players had really bad shooting nights. Wiggins went 1-for-8. He did make 1 3-point attempt. He was 1-for-4 from beyond the arc. But that could be the case. And look, if that's true, if it is affecting Poole, and look, Wiggins is going to be an unrestricted free agent next year. So maybe that's creeping in his mind as well. But I mean, the one bright side is it makes it a lot more likely that the team will re-sign him. but at the same time, yeah, I just hope that, you know, that doesn't carry over long term, because that would not be good. No bueno.
Yeah, I don't want to read too much into it because it is the first game. So I'm not saying like for sure that's going to be like a season long theme, but you know, maybe there are just some early season jitters because of it. And who knows? I mean, maybe it'll be a theme. You hope not, but I don't know. I would think if I was a player, that would definitely be in the back of my mind.
Hell yeah. Absolutely. And again, but ultimately the theme and the focus of that first game was James Wiseman. He was plus 14 in the plus minus. The player that was second to him was another very young player. He's only 19 years old still, and that's Jonathan Kuminga. I think he led the team in minutes last night. He wasn't very active offensively in terms of field goal attempts. He only had 4. He went 1-for-4 from the field, only had 1 3-point attempt, a modest 6 points. Only had 1 rebound, surprisingly, given how dominant the Warriors were crashing the glass. But despite that, he was plus 12. You know, so defensively, he was active. He was at the right place at the right time. He did have 3 assists. Did you get a chance to watch Kuminga, and any thoughts on him?
I think that Kuminga looked strong. He looked better defensively. I think that's one thing that he needed to improve a little bit was the mental side of the game in terms of defense versus offense. Yeah, he wasn't super aggressive in taking a lot of shots. But, you know, I think that plus minus is a good indicator of how he impacted the game. And I think with his athleticism and his size and speaking of how incredible James Wiseman's athleticism is, Jonathan Kuminga is another young player that has some of the physical tools that other players in this league just don't have. Mm-hmm. So I'm really excited to see how he develops this season. I mean, I thought he looked fine. I didn't feel like he was real active on offense in general. He did get to the line 6 times though, and that's something I wanted to mention, because I think him continuing to be aggressive, drawing fouls, driving to the basket, and really going up strong is going to be huge for the Warriors this season. However, he also needs to really focus on his free throw shooting, because there were some stretches last season where he was brutal from the line. He went 4-for-6 this morning, which wasn't terrible, but if he's going to be drawing a lot of fouls and ending up at the line a lot, he needs to really focus on making sure he's knocking down some of those free throws. But I do like that. I like the aggression and I like the drawing a lot of fouls. I think that's great. I think him getting to the hoop and getting to the rim is going to be huge for the Warriors. And man, like, how about the Warriors having Kuminga and Wiseman? Like, that's crazy coming off the bench. Like, that level of scary athleticism, size, explosiveness down low. Like, it's just like kind of mind-blowing to have both of them healthy.
Hell yeah. What are your thoughts? You know, at Ellert Nick on Twitter asked a question that, well, the moment he asked it, I was like, you know what? I did notice that a little bit. He wrote, he asked a question, which was, whether or not he thinks Moses Moody looks thicker this year, not necessarily fatter, but thicker. It could be just muscle mass. Does Moses Moody look different to you? And he played 25 minutes last night. Again, he was plus 7 from the field, only at 5 points. But does Moody look different to you? And if that is that difference a good or bad thing in your opinion?
I honestly didn't notice that he looked thicker. Good. I would be curious to see him play or see him closer up maybe to get a better assessment of that. Like it didn't stand out to me that he looked thicker, but I mean, it's possible. I will say that I thought that he did a good job defensively. You just mentioned him not putting up a lot of numbers on offense. However, we saw his rookie year that he was, you know, he's a pretty big and physical wing player who did well defensively. I know there was a clip that I saw on Twitter of him locking down Bradley Beal, and I can't remember if he actually got the steal or he almost forced a steal. It was in the second quarter, late in the second quarter. But I thought that he still looked pretty nice defensively, and he's another big physical player out there on the floor for the Warriors, especially in a guard position. For a guard, he's a pretty big guy. So yes. I don't know. I didn't notice that he looked thicker, whether it be muscle mass or just additional weight on his body. I mean, I didn't notice it. I'm curious, did you notice that? Because it didn't stand out to me, but not to say that it's not true.
It didn't stick out until I read that tweet. And suddenly I was like, you know what? Maybe it does look just a little bit bigger. But look, he's young. He's only 20 years old. So, his body's still growing. It's very possible that he's just bulking up and that's natural. But you're right. He's got like a Desmond Bane, Dylan Brooks type like bulk to him, where he's a bigger a shooting guard for sure, which is a good thing. I mean, you want some strength out there. I'll end the show on this note, just because another player that I thought stuck out to me in a positive way was Quindary Weatherspoon. And this is a player who during the offseason wanted a guaranteed contract, didn't get it, still might get it because he needs to be guaranteed if he wants to play in the postseason. But he did put the onus on himself to take up on the role of Gary Payne II in terms of being a defensive stalwart, in terms of just being a clutch intangibles type player off the bench. And I thought he did great last night. He only played 12 minutes, but he had one big steal that led to a James Wiseman, dunk. Finished with 6 points. I don't know. I liked how he looked out there. Any opinions on Quindary Weatherspoon, who's currently on a two-way deal, but there is a possibility he could be converted to a guaranteed contract. Any thoughts on Q?
I have said this entire offseason that I think Quindary Weatherspoon is worthy of a guaranteed contract. He got some limited minutes with the Warriors last season on his two-way deal, and I thought we saw some really nice flashes. I'm trying to remember. I think it was the Christmas Day win against the Suns that he really contributed and had some big plays off the bench. It's interesting that he wants to try to emulate Gary Payton II. I thought that he had great hands last night, Quindary. You mentioned a couple of steals. I've noticed that throughout watching him play in both the G League and with the Warriors last season. I think he has really great hands. He's really quick. He's a player who's really explosive. He's really fun to watch. Like, I watched him a little bit more in the G League, actually, than with the Santa Cruz Warriors than the Golden State Warriors, which is a very fast and physical game. And he's a fast and physical specimen also. And he really can explode and get to the bucket. He's just a lot of fun to watch. And I do think that he has a lot of potential defensively. That's setting the bar pretty high to say that he could potentially completely fill a Gary Payton II void. But I thought he did really well. I thought he did really well in the game. I think he did accomplish what he wanted to accomplish defensively. I believe he was a +7. Do you have the stats up? You can maybe correct me if I'm wrong. But I think +6 maybe. But I think he had a positive impact on the game. Oh, he was -1. Oh,
which
no.
Which is surprising, but he had 6 points. But yeah.
Oh, well. Now, okay. So we say all this, but I do think the plus minus category doesn't tell the full story. I think that it can tell part of the impact on the game, especially when a player isn't scoring, but is doing a lot defensively, like we see oftentimes with Draymond Green. I don't think it tells the full story. I remember he had one, Weatherspoon had one steal and he went the other way, coast to coast, had the finish at the rim, or I think it was a layup. So I don't know. I think that he's a lot of potential. I think that he definitely is worthy of a guaranteed deal. I like what we saw from last season. I like what we saw in some of the flashes this morning. And I think he's a player that is NBA ready and rotation ready. So we'll just have to see. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if he gets a deal before the postseason, because I think he could help the Warriors in the postseason. Yeah. I really do.
Same. I'm totally with you. And it's worth noting, look, I mean, this is the preseason. Obviously these games don't count in terms of the regular season record, but it can be a tone setter. It could provide momentum going into the regular season. Just to remind you, the Warriors last year were 5-0 in the preseason. And in all the years where they've won a title, they've had strong preseasons. So that can carry over, especially for the younger players. If they're playing good, they're feeling good. So one down. Saturday is game 2 of the Japanese tour. And the concluding tour of the conclusion of the tour, they play at, I think, 10 p.m. Saturday night. So all of you out there getting sauced, turn on the Warriors game. Kylan, any plans for the weekend?
Getting sauced and watching the Warriors. Just kidding. I don't really have any plans. There's the festival going on, the free festival in Golden Gate Park, Hardly Strictly.
Hell yeah.
And so I might go check that out. I've never been. I have some friends who are talking about going and walking around. I'm like thinking about playing hooky today. It's so beautiful out. So if I don't go today, I'm definitely going to try to go walk around there a little bit tomorrow during the day. But otherwise, watching the Warriors, I'm excited to see them play, especially at a time of day that I'm normally up. So my brain is fully functioning and able to pay a little bit closer attention to some of those plays and not fall asleep. So I'm really pumped. I mean, I think fans have every reason to be excited. I think what we saw in this first game, it's just preseason, but showed a lot of potential, especially from a lot of the new players. And, you know, obviously Steve Kerr making a ton of substitutions as expected to give some of those guys more opportunities. And I think everything we saw from all of them across the board was really encouraging. So bring on Saturday.
Hell yeah. And I'm looking, by the way, Hardly Strictly Bluegrass. I don't know how many years it's been going on. It's free, which normally brings a lot of people. I might actually go too. I went to it once many years ago, but it's such my jam in terms of music. So I might do it. What day are you thinking of going? Are you going to go Saturday or Sunday?
Probably Saturday, because I got, you know, it's like Sunday's the chore day. So you'll have to text me. We'll do a Locked On Warriors road appearance from Hardly.
If you follow me on Twitter, I'm going to retweet Larry Krueger. I was on his show last night for like 2.5 hours. He mentioned he met you in person finally at the Niners, right? At one of their practices?
Yeah, at a practice. Yeah, like a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, that was a fun time. So if you want to watch that, I'm going to post that on Twitter soon. I also want to really quickly mention yesterday's show with Sleepy Floyd. We're not analyzing the current Warriors in an interview like that, but he's such a legend. And one of the highlights for me was playing a sound clip of Michael Cooper talking about defending him during his record-setting game in the playoffs in 1987 when he still holds the record for most points in a quarter, 29. He did it in the fourth quarter of that game, and 39 points and a half. Those are records that still stand to this day. It's one of my earliest memories of watching basketball. That game almost like single-handedly really like made me love the Warriors. And so to have, for me, I geeked out. I love Sleepy. He's such a good dude. So that interview is posted. Check it out. And of course, every Monday and Friday, Kylan Mills and I hold down the fort. Anything else? We good? Time to go?
Yeah, I know you got places to be, things to do, young minds to mold. I'm excited Monday because we're going to have another game to talk about. And we'll save this for Monday. I know that it came out earlier this week, and I'm sure you have like hammered this in all your podcasts, but I still want to talk to you about the Warriors' eighth finish projection from ESPN's, I don't know, computers or however they calculate that. That was wild, but let's just tease that for after the weekend, because I have some thoughts and I'm going to share them on Monday, and we're going to break down the Warriors' next preseason game in Japan Saturday night. So have a great weekend.
Perfect. Yeah. And remember, keep in mind, this is the same projection calculator that after game two of the NBA finals, they gave the Warriors, I think, like a 12% chance to win the NBA finals. It's utterly ridiculous. Yeah. I can't wait to hear your breakdown of it, because it's wild. It's just, why even use that thing? What's the point? I don't get it. All right, folks. Have a great weekend. Thank you, Kylan, as always. And we'll see you folks